This is Ms. G bringing you Telling Tales here tonight, and I have a wonderful little story to send you out there. The Princess Who Kicked Butt by Will Shetterly. Give me a moment to get settled, and I'll be right back. Hi there, this is Ms. G, back with Telling Tales here at 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. And tonight's story is by Will Shetterly. It's called The Princess Who Kicked Butt. Once upon a time, not so very long ago, there was a land ruled with the very best intentions, if not the very best results, by the king who saw both sides of every question and the queen who cared for everyone. When the first child was born, the fairy, who was good with names, arrived at the castle in a cloud of smoke and said, "Your daughter shall be known as the Princess Who Kicked Butt." Before anyone could say another word, the fairy sneezed twice and disappeared. A page ran to open a window, and when the smoke had cleared, the king said, "What did the fairy say?" The queen frowned. She said, "Our daughter shall be called, the Princess Who Read Books, I think." Said the king, "I'd rather hope for the princess who slew dragons. But reading books is a sign of wisdom, isn't it? It's a fine title." "I think she'll be happy with it," said the queen. So the princess, who kicked butt, was surrounded with books from her earliest days. She seemed happy to spend her time reading when she wasn't writing or dancing or swimming or running around the kingdom, talking with everyone about what they were doing and why they were doing it and how they might do it better. The king and queen were delighted with their daughter, and only once did they express any doubt about her title. The king said, "Have you noticed that she doesn't read very often?" The queen shrugged. "The fairy didn't call her the princess who read all the time." "That's true," said the king. And then he said, "Have you noticed that she reads fairy tales and adventure novels and almost nothing else?" The queen shrugged again. "The fairy didn't call her the princess who reads school books." "That's true," said the king. "And if history remembers her as the princess who read silly stories when she had nothing better to do, well, what does that matter if she's happy?" One day, when the princess was older than a girl but younger than a woman, a page hurried into the throne room where the king, who saw both sides of every question, and the queen, who cared for everyone, were playing cards while they waited for some royal duties to do. The princess sat on a nearby window seat, reading The Count of Monte Cristo. "Your Majesties," the page cried, "the evil enchanter of the eastern marshes demands to be admitted into your presence." "Well, then," the king said, "admit him immediately, lest he be angered by the delay." "At once," said the page, and he turned on his heel to bring in the enchanter. "Or perhaps," said the king, and the page turned back to face the king and queen so quickly that he almost fell over. "We should make the enchanter wait a few minutes, lest he think he can easily sway us to his whims." "As you wish," said the page. "Wait, wait," said the king. "Go at once to admit the enchanter, not because we fear him, but because we would not have him think us rude." "I go," said the page, turning to do so. "But," said the king, and here the page did trip on the carpet as he turned, though he sprang quickly back to his feet. If the enchanter is demanding to be admitted, that's rather rude, isn't it? The queen said, for an evil enchanter, being rude might be the very best manners. Then she asked the page, have you had enough to eat? If you're dizzy from hunger, we should give you a raise. Thank you, Your Majesty, said the page, but I had a raise just last week, and I ate an excellent lunch. The queen nodded. Be sure you have milk with every meal. Milk builds strong bones. I don't think there's anything wrong with his bones, Mama, said the princess, who secretly liked the page. The king smiled. If the enchanter is being polite, we should be polite too, and if he's being rude, we'll look better by answering rudeness with civility. Don't dawdle, page. Admit him at once. At once, said the page, sprinting for the throne room doors. Unless, began the king, but the page slipped through the doors and closed them firmly behind him. The king barely had time to sigh before the doors opened again and the page returned. Your Majesties, I give you the evil enchanter of the eastern marshes. The king smiled at the evil enchanter. Welcome to our castle, unless you'd rather not be. Oh, I'd rather be, said the evil enchanter. Indeed, I feel most welcome to your land, your people, and your treasure. Oh, good, said the king. I don't think so, dear, said the queen. What, said the king, staring at the evil enchanter, do you mean that you feel welcome to keep my lands, people, and treasure? I do, said the evil enchanter, and I shall. My immediate marriage to your daughter, followed by your majesty's abdication of the throne in my favor, would be the simplest solution. Oh, and triple the taxes on the people. That would make a fine wedding present. Yes, I suppose so, said the king. Dear, said the queen. If I intended to permit that, said the king. I won't marry him, said the princess, thinking it best to let her father know her position on the matter as soon as possible. Of course not, said the king. Arrest that man. The page looked around to see if there were any palace guards in the room. Since there were none, he said, sir, I'm afraid you're under arrest. Please step. The evil enchanter made a careless gesture. The page said, I'm sorry to say I cannot arrest this man, Your Majesty. I cannot move my legs. The king said, give my page the use of his legs immediately. Certainly, said the evil enchanter, when the princess consents to marry me. Before the princess could speak, the queen turned to her. Oh, my poor darling, how cruel of this enchanter. People will suffer no matter how you choose. It's kind of you to notice, said the evil enchanter. You're right, my dear, the king told the queen. We shall decide, not she. He nodded at the princess. And I say you shall marry this evil enchanter. Lest he be provoked to further mischief. What? Said the princess, the evil enchanter and the page simultaneously. But, said the king, and in different ways the princess, the evil enchanter, and the page relaxed. If we permit this, the enchanter's next demand will surely be even more unforgivable. Therefore I say you shall not marry him. That's your last word? Said the evil enchanter. It is, said the king. Very well. The evil enchanter waved his arms once in a broad pass, and he, the king, and the queen disappeared in a cloud of smoke, just as the king said, unless... The princess and the page stared at the places where the three people had been. The page carefully lifted each of his feet just to be sure that he could, then ran to open a window. When he quit coughing, he said, what shall we do, Your Highness? Why? I'll rescue them, of course, said the princess. I'll accompany you, said the page. The princess said, don't be silly. Someone has to run the country while I'm gone. Before the page could reply, the princess strolled from the throne room into the inner waiting room, and then into the outer waiting room, and then into the long hall, and then into the entryway, and then into the courtyard, and finally into the royal stables. The royal hostler bowed as she said, I need a horse. Of course, he gestured toward a lean midnight black mare. This has arrived yesterday, the fastest horse in the land. Won't do, said the princess. Of course not, said the royal hostler, stepping to the next stall, which held a broad-shouldered golden stallion. This is Carries All, the sturdiest horse in the land. Won't do, said the princess. She stepped to the next stall, which held a wiry horse with black and white splotches on its gray side. "And this?" The hostler swallowed and said, "This is Hates Everything, the angriest horse in the land." "Perfect," said the princess. And before the hostler could say another word, she saddled Hates Everything and rode out from the palace. The moment they passed through the palace gates, Hates Everything tried every trick that every horse has ever tried to escape from its rider. And then Hates Everything invented 17 new tricks, each cleverer than the one before. But the princess held on to Hates Everything back when he bucked and she lifted her right leg out of the way when Hates Everything scraped his right side against the wall of the palace and she lifted her left leg out of the way when Hates Everything scraped his left side against a tree. She ducked when Hates Everything ran under a low branch. She jumped off when Hates Everything flipped head over heels onto his back. And then she jumped right back into the saddle when he stood up again. Finally, Hates Everything stood perfectly still in the middle of the road, snorting steam and glaring angrily from side to side. Two palace guards stood by the gate watching helplessly. One whispered to the other, "Did the fairy really call her the princess who read books?" "Maybe she read a book about reading, a writing," said the other guard. "You're just wasting time," the princess told Hates Everything. "You're not going to get rid of me." Hates Everything jumped straight up in the air, did a triple somersault, and landed on his feet with the princess still on his back. "You see," said the princess, "when you carry me to the palace of the evil enchanter of the Eastern Marches, I will set you free." Hates Everything turned his head to look back at her. The princess said, "Don't you hate wasting time?" Hates Everything raced eastward toward the marshes and the palace of the evil enchanter. When they came to a raging river where the bridge had been swept away, Hates Everything halted and reared up on its hind legs. The princess clung to his back and whispered, "Don't you hate being stuck on this side?" Hates Everything plunged into the fierce currents and swam, carrying the princess across the water. When they came to a landslide that blocked the road, Hates Everything halted and reared up on his hind legs. The princess studied the mountain of rocks and boulders before them. Then she whispered, "Don't you hate stopping when you're almost at your destination?" Hates Everything charged forward, bounding from boulder to boulder, carrying the princess up and over the landslide. When they came to a pack of gray wolves that growled as they paced back and forth across the road, Hates Everything reared up on his hind legs and turned to gallop away. The princess whispered, "Don't you hate people who get in your way?" Hates Everything bolted forward, and the leader of the wolves had to jump aside lest he be trampled by Hates Everything's hooves. They came at last to the evil enchanter's castle in the Eastern Marshes. A goblin the color of granite stood in front of the evil enchanter's gates. He called, "Have you come to marry my master?" "No," said the princess. "Then I cannot let you pass," said the goblin. A long sword appeared in his hands. "Your fly is open," said the princess. "Oh," said the goblin, dropping the sword and turning away to button up its trousers. Then it turned back. "Wait a minute, I'm a goblin. I don't wear clothes." But the princess and Hates Everything had already ridden past the goblin and into the evil enchanter's courtyard. "Mama, Papa," called the princess, "I've come to rescue you." The evil enchanter appeared in a cloud of smoke. He waved his arms to fan away the fumes, and when he quit coughing, he said, "You've come to rescue no one. Now that you're here, you shall marry me." He waved his arms once, and a priest appeared in a cloud of smoke. After everyone quit coughing, he turned to the priest and said, "Marry me," the priest said, "but I don't know you." "No, no, no," said the evil enchanter. "Marry me to the princess." "Oh," said the priest, "that's different." The princess whispered to Hates Everything, "When we've defeated the enchanter, you'll be free." "Don't you hate?" But Hates Everything had already lunged forward and began to chase the evil enchanter around the courtyard. "Wait, stop," cried the evil enchanter. "I can't make a spell if I can't stop to think." "That's the idea," said the princess. "Stop this crazy horse, please. Then free my parents and quit trying to marry me and promise not to bother anyone ever again." "What?" said the evil enchanter in outrage. And then, "Ow!" said the evil enchanter in pain, as hates everything nipped his buttocks. "It's a deal. On your word of honor as an evil enchanter." "Yes, yes." "Very well." The princess leaped down from the saddle. "Hates everything. You're free to go." Hates everything seems as if he hated having to stop chasing the evil enchanter, and he probably did. But he came to the princess and looked at her as if maybe he didn't hate her as much as he hated everything else. The princess removed his saddle and gave him a hug, and he let her do that, even though he clearly hated it. Then he charged away from the enchanter's palace as if he didn't hate anything at all. The evil enchanter said, "You didn't really beat me. The horse beat me." The princess yelled, "Goblin!" The goblin ran into the courtyard. "Hey, it's you. Couldn't you tell that I wasn't wearing any clothes? So how could my fly be open, huh?" Instead of answering that, the princess said, "I'll double your salary if you'll cut off the enchanter's head." "Good deal," said the goblin, and his long sword appeared in his hands. "Wait," said the evil enchanter. "Okay, okay, you beat me fair and square." "Don't cut off his head," said the princess. "Darn," said the goblin. "You can still come and work at our palace," said the princess. "Good deal," said the goblin. The formerly evil enchanter waved his arms, and the king and the queen, the goblin, the enchanter, the priest, and the princess all appeared in the throne room where the page was assembling the country's generals to go rescue their missing royal family. The page ran to open a window, and when everyone had stopped coughing, the princess said, "Papa, see how well the page managed things while we were gone? Don't you think you should make him a prince and engage him to your daughter?" "I hadn't," said the king, but the queen nudged him with her elbow, and he said, "All right, that's exactly what I was planning to do, if that's all right with you, young man." The page smiled shyly at the princess, then said, "Yes, your majesty, that's very much all right with me." The formerly evil enchanter said, "What about me?" The king said, "You can't be engaged to my daughter, too." The princess said, "That's not what he meant. He meant it gets awfully lonely on the eastern marshes." She cupped her hands and yelled, "Fairy who's good with names, am I really the princess who read books?" The fairy who was good with names appeared in a cloud of smoke. When everyone had quit coughing, the fairy said, "Indeed not. You're the princess who kicked butt." "That's more like it," said the princess. "Oh my," said the queen. "Hey," said the formerly evil enchanter, the fairy who was good with names. "Nice smoke." And then the priest, who still didn't know what was going on, but who knew a good opportunity when it presented itself, gave everyone a business card that said, in large print, "Marriages are our favorite business." And they all lived happily ever after. You just heard me read Will Shetterly's The Princess Who Kicked Butt. This is Ms. G. I'm bringing you Telling Tales here tonight at 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska, and I'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Hello, this is Ms. G. I'm back. Hope you enjoyed that last story. I wanted to mark this evening with the fact that tomorrow, June 19th, is also known as Juneteenth. Juneteenth is celebrated in most states around the country. It is the day of emancipation for slaves throughout the United throughout the Americas at the time, not the United States. And it's also known as, well, as a worldwide celebration, and also known as Freedom Day in other places, and it's the emancipation of last remaining slaves in the U.S. June 19th in 1865, slaves in Texas were finally told they were free. It was 2 months and 10 days after Robert E. Lee surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant at the Appomattox. So, I wanted to talk about that day because I just came back from visiting family members, and they are going to be at a family reunion for one side of the family on this day in Texas. And this day is usually, tomorrow, is usually celebrated by many people getting together for family reunions and things. And I went online and I found some interesting things about it, but the most interesting I found were two beautiful poems written by Christina Kay. And the first one is called Keep in Your Heart the Blood. Remember always the glory days, the dances, the songs, the chants, the rituals, the customs, the people. Remember times in beautiful Africa, your people, from green forests, golden deserts, to the deepest, darkest regions of Congo and Virunga. Here in this land, here, always in your heart, the beating of drums, the ancient customs of the Kagani. Remember always the kings and queens, Tutankhamun, Cleopatra. But do not sit and not remember the dark days. Keep in your heart the blood. Blood spilled by those who fought for freedom. The blood of the slave as the whip touches the flesh. Do not be enslaved. Be now empowered. Feel it. Taste it. Drink it. Gather it in buckets. Bathe in it. Bathe your children in it. Keep in your heart the blood. Her next poem is titled, We Rose. From Africa's heart, we rose. Already a people, our faces ebon, our bodies lean. We rose. Skills of art, life, beauty, and family. Crushed by forces we knew nothing of, we rose. Survive we must, we did. We rose. We rose to be you, we rose to be me. Above everything expected, we rose. To become the knowledge we never knew, we rose. Dream, we did. Act, we must. Those two poems, We Rose and Keep in Your Heart the Blood by Christina Kay. So, and I have an announcement to make. I am taking a slight hiatus. I will be back October 1st. Until then, you will be very good hands with a great radio show titled With Good Reason. It's a radio show out of Virginia and explores wide ranges of topics with leading scholars. And just an example, Julian Bond speaking of race issues, Nikki Giovanni reading her poetry, Brian Kaplan, The Myth of the Rational Voter, among other things. And so, I leave you now with some wonderful music to end out this show. I've had pleasurable times reading to you, but I need a summer break myself. So, until October, please stay tuned. This is Ms. G, and I'm bringing you Telling Tales here tonight at 104.3 Juneau, Alaska.